If y'all got a problem with me not being here on time, you got a problem. Love is patient, and it's kind, and it's long-suffering. If I don't get here on time, it's all right. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to set my goals that way to get here on time. But if I don't, it's all right. How about this? Y'all got kids? How old are they? He don't even remember. He'd get home on time. He'd know the age of the kids. Well, brother, I'm the same way, so don't. But can you remember when you were getting ready to go to 10:30 Mass and you've got some child in that house, or maybe mama, just can't get ready on time? I mean, we got to be at Mass at 10:30. And she's, my God, it's 25 after 10 now and she's not ready. Where in the hell is that woman? You go sit in the car and you crank it up. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom. See, his goal, God's goal is being interrupted. Right? God.
I always have two kids addressed in the car.
Okay. We just can't get there on time, you know. And he's sitting out there thinking, oh, God, that priest has already told me how he hates for somebody to come to church late. We're going to be late, and I'm going to look bad in the priest's eyes. It's not my fault. It's their fault. Dumb jerks. And you get to church, and you're madder in a wet setting hen. And you go up to receive communion, and he says, Body of Christ, and you say, Amen. Nearly bite his fingers off. See? This is what all anger and anxiety comes from. Folks, America wants gas just as cheap as we can get it. And when that sucker goes hauling into Kuwait, and we have oil go up to $40 a barrel from $15, our goal just got interrupted. And you know what? We'll wipe out half the blooming earth to try to get it back right because we got such a great power. And do you know what? There ain't no telling what you'd do to him if you could when he don't make it home at 6:30 and the food gets cold. Same blooming stuff. Same stuff. You know what? Let me tell you what you can do. I'm talking about what I practice, not what something I think is a theory. She's going to be 15 minutes late for church. You know it's all right if we go to church late. I know she's a mess, Lord, and can't get ready on time, but I'm a mess too. I didn't get home in time for the food the other night. She walks into the room and says, Are you ready to go? Because that's the way she'll do it. No women, I live with them, huh? And you get up and say, Okay, let's go. And we go to church. You're not sitting out there racing the motor of the car. Hoom, hoom, hoom. That is revenge and retaliation. Do you understand? You just sit there and that's all right if we go to church. But you know what? When you get to church, after you've done it like this, and it comes time for the sign of peace, you can look your wife right in the eye and say, Honey, may the peace of Christ be with you. But you know what? If you have stomped the blooming gas pedal on the car and you have cursed under your breath, when the sign of peace comes, you say, Peace of Christ. Or you sure can't look her in the eye. Peace of Christ. Y'all done that? Now, I'm gonna tell you, if you've done the other thing, and it's nothing but a decision, you went over in a chair, and you didn't want to. Bless God, you wanted to tell a blooming broad she just don't ever get ready on time. But you don't. You sit down in the chair, and you really think about things the way they really are. I do a lot of things she doesn't like either. And I wouldn't like her to fuss at me and get me all mad before I go to church. I'd just like her to take it. I'm going to take it. Don't tell me you can't do that. It takes no more energy to do. It takes less energy to do that than it does go out there and crank the car and blow your fuse and honk the horn. And,
does it help?
Huh?
Yeah, it does.
I'll guarantee you the anger won't be there, brother.
No, I mean, does she get dressed up?
Oh, I don't care. That's not why you're doing it. Well, I don't want him doing it for that reason. Roy, I'm gonna tell you, your wife might get later. This is another way we'll do something in the name of Jesus, and it's all wrong. Oh yeah, I'll sit down and be patient if she'll change. Oh no, that isn't in the name of Jesus. I'm going to sit down and be patient, and I'll change. If you want to change the world, change. And you'll look at the world differently. Oh, my God. Got a bunch of sick folks out there like me. Instead of looking at everybody else like I'm well and they're sick. She's late. I don't ever do nothing wrong. What the world? God. Aren't we something? We are really something, aren't we? All anger and anxiety comes from having your little old piddling goals interrupted.
Hallelujah.
Charlie couldn't hear that, did he? But it does. And this is, big things come from this, folks. Big, big, big things. Big things. Now, you know what? Everything you've heard me talk about here all week is not explicit. It's implied. See, I'm talking about something right now that's not explicitly said in Scripture. But I'm going to tell you, if you live the words in the Bible, you're going to understand that all anger and anxiety comes from having your goals interrupted. The reason we don't love our enemy and do good to those that hate us and bless those that curse us is because they'll interrupt our goals. That's what an enemy is. It's somebody. I want to tell you, when old hubby is sitting out there in the car raising the engine, he is your enemy par excellence. You know, Jesus said it. You'll find your enemies are the members of your own household. Now, another thing I'd like to talk about. Same thing. And if y'all, I beg you to learn to let your minds go wild with this. And you'll see things in your life. You know how the person pulls out in front of you? You're driving down the road. I mean, yeah. I know how you say peace be with you. Peace. And I know how you spell it. But you just think of all the problems you have with your wife, your husband, and your kids. And it's all of the anger and anxiety that's in you is because they're interrupting your goals. Things aren't the way you want them. You are God of the universe, and it's just not going right. And we aren't God, and you can't control nothing but yourself. You have no power over nothing on this earth but you. How long you been trying to have power over her?
Well, a couple of days.
I know at least 20 years.
Liar.
But you know what? I cannot make her get ready on time. But I can be patient. Sweetie, I know I've seen it work that way, but I don't want anybody in here doing it for that reason. You know, I don't want anybody doing it for that. You know what? I said earlier this week that legislated virtue is vice. Oh, you didn't ever hear me say that? Oh, remember that one.
Good.
Legislated virtue is what? Vice. Or if you coerce somebody into do good, it is not virtue, it's vice. It has to come from a free choice. Eat meat on Friday, you're going to hell. The guy walks in at 7:30 for his meal. It's not ready. And says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to sleep on the couch. I ain't sleeping with you no more. And so the son of a gun's home at 6:30 tomorrow night. You're coercing him into being good. Give you a little reward if you'll be good. Legislated virtue is vice. It has to come from an act of the free will. And the guy that'll sit down and'll be patient, and then the wife does start getting ready on time, it's a virtue. You give her a chance to become holy. Go read Ephesians 6. Jesus died for the church so that it could be holy. He was patient and forgave our sins so we could choose to love as God loves, not be coerced into loving as God loves. There is never any love when coercion is involved. Never. Never. It has to be a free act of the will. I choose to turn my cheek. Think of this. Saint Trino. Think of this. Think of means and ends the same way. Y'all didn't know this was in the scriptures, did you? This is all scripture. Means and ends. The world will never say to us, or I've never heard it say, I've heard some politicians say, but the world is not normally stupid enough to say that the end justifies the means that you use to get there. But it lives that way. It always lives like that. For instance, if I have to blow up 400,000 people to have peace, then blow them up. And the end result's peace. It's a lie. It is a lie. It's intimately related with what we're talking about. All right? The means that you use to get someplace, here's the way I want you to think about it. It is your end. Whatever you're doing to get to a place is what you are. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. What you sow is what you reap. If I am treating Brian with revenge and retaliation, what am I when we get down here? I am revenge and retaliation. If I am coercing and forcing my wife to get ready on time, when I get to church with her, am I going to love her? No, not going to love her. If I'll be patient and love her now, when I get to church, I can love her. The means that you use to get someplace is your end. Mahatma Gandhi said it like this: the means is the end in embryo. Or, if this egg, if the bird in it is love, when it hatches out down here with Fred and he slapped me, it will not produce a buzzard. If it was a dove there, it'll be a dove here. If it's a buzzard here, it's a buzzard here. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Most of us has looked at this like this. And this is one of the things I'm talking about when I say what truth is conforming your mind to reality. Most of us has looked at this scripture this way. If I am good to Fred, he'll be good to me. That's a lie. I've been good to people and they have used me like dirt. So if I walk around saying that's what that scripture means, if I'm good to Fred, then Fred will be good to me. Or if I use the scripture in Matthew that says, given it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, running over, will flow into the fold of your garment. If I use that for money, or if I use it for Fred, give to Fred, good measure, pressed down, flowing over, and it'll come back to you from Brian Grader. I know it's not so. I've done good things for people, and then walk all over them. Here's what I have found out, though, from doing that. If I give to Brian, good measure, pressed down, if I don't judge him, if I forgive him over and over and over and over, you know what's in my heart? Forgiveness. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What you're sowing, moment in and moment out, is what you are. Now, you can pray for God to make you peaceful in the name of Jesus while you're shooting your enemy if you want. Don't happen. I'll give you an example, something that I think is a practical example of this. Us, the Allied forces, saved the world from a horrible person like Hitler, didn't we? And we have aborted 30 million babies. Now, don't be deceived. The means that you use is what you are. If you can kill others so easily, you're a killer, and you'll kill your own. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we know that's truth. You can look at that and say, I don't like it, and you have to get rid of the Hitlers of this world. Go ahead. But don't be deceived. When you kill him, you'll be a killer. That's what your heart will be. And Jesus would tell you, you're better off to die than not to love. And we're sitting around wondering, why does the world seem so bad? Is the world a better place than it was 1,000 years ago? 500 years ago? 100 years ago? There is more fear and revenge and retaliation and anxiety and worry, ulcers, in people today than there's ever been. And we wonder why. Because you reap what you sow. Each individual is exactly what they do. The earliest Christian document that we have, other than Scripture, is a document called the Didache. The word means teaching. And here's the way it described the situation that we're in the world. It says there are two ways. There's the way of light, and there's the way of darkness. Or we use the clock and the cross. There's the way of darkness, and there's the way of light. There's the way of death, and there's the way of life. Let's look at an intimately remembering goal and means. Let's look at some different ways that we can live. And always thinking that some of these things you can do in the name of Jesus and some you can't. I don't care if you tack the name of Jesus on it or not. So there's death and there's life. There is retaliation and there is reconciliation. You cannot retaliate in the name of Jesus. It is an impossibility to retaliate in the name of Jesus. It is not his nomenclature. It is not his nature. You cannot pray for retaliation in the name of Jesus. Folks, I know you can go to the Old Testament and you can pray in the name of Moses and retaliate. You cannot with Jesus. We got to make up our mind whether we are Mosesites or Christians. And I'll read you that in Scripture. Paul said that in Scripture. I don't remember it was to the Galatians or the Corinthians. And do you know, how many of you here know why Stephen was stoned? He was blaspheming Moses. Y'all know that? That's why Stephen was stoned, because he was blaspheming Moses. Do you know what that means? Moses said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I see little old Stephen stand up there and saying, and that's wrong, the fulfillment of that is, you have heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, you do not resist evil. You don't retaliate. And they stoned Stephen because he was blaspheming against Moses. Moses was not the perfect revelation of God. Jesus Christ was. Okay? So, here we got retaliation, and here we got reconciliation. And folks, you can't walk both paths at once. They are diverging paths. You can't stay on one path and walk the other. One of these paths you have violence, and on the other you have nonviolence. You cannot do violence in the name of Jesus. And people say, well, I don't know how to live nonviolently. Just give up the use of violence. And you can say, well, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. You sit down in the chair. My God, it's a decision. You say, well, I don't have the power to do it. I'll tell you, you do. God's given you the power. You don't want to do it. You know. How about service and survival? This road is a road of service, and this road is a road of survival, and you cannot pray for survival in the name of Jesus. Survival is not the motive of a Christian. It's guaranteed. Service is what motivates us. We're not supposed to be concerned with surviving. We're supposed to be concerned with serving. Two different paths, folks. Two different paths. How about cooperation? And this is one that's going to scald some of you. This is a path of cooperation, and this is competition. And competition comes straight from the devil. Straight from the evil one. You can never, never, never reconcile the name of Jesus, the personality of Jesus, with competition. We used to get in those football huddles, and we were real Christian, and we'd say, Lord, help the best team to win. But man, I knew what I meant. I wasn't praying for the other suckers. And I'll guarantee you, I didn't feel like they, that I was going to act in some way that would make them greater than me. I was going to beat the hound out of them. And if I had to kick this guy in the crotch to do it, I'd do it. Competition is straight from the devil. I don't care if it's among churches, among groups in the churches. Paul calls it a party spirit. Party spirit. I'm a this and I'm a that. You cannot pray for something good to happen for America if it brings about a bad for another country. In the name of Jesus. Can't do it. How many of you ever thought that competition was bad before? Was this just a blasted barn burner? Competition comes straight from the evil one. It is darkness.
in the Bible it says, you're in a race and run a good race.
Okay. See, that's a good one, though. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the word is. The Greek word there isn't race at all. It's struggle. You were in a struggle. Run a good struggle. Now, translating it race is fine because that's the way of looking at it. It's a race, and run a good race. Run a good, non-competitive race. Cooperation is the race I'm running. I'm not running a race of competition. I'm not trying to beat you. I'm not trying to... How in the world can you compete with somebody for service? You ever saw two people competing to see who could serve the most? That's the race for serving. It's not a race to beat somebody. It's a race to serve it. But it's a race. It's a way of walking. See, I'm talking about walking it now. You just go home and think about, folks, what competition does in your family and your kids. And I know the world loves it. It makes good soldiers. You better be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. Any of you ever heard that? South Pacific. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. That's from the musical South Pacific. That's the world. That's this path, folks. And I want to tell you, if you think America will teach you to love your enemy, forget it. And if you think Russia will or Kuwait will or nobody, there is no nation will ever teach you to love your enemy. That is the kingdom of God principle. We've got to make our choice, our mind up. How about there's a way of evangelical poverty and artificial needs? You ever heard of that? Evangelical poverty, good news poverty. I'll live on what it takes me to live on and no more what I need, food, clothing, and shelter, and I'll serve with the rest of my time. Oh. Now, David, I need a trip to Disney World once in a while where I can relax. And a sailboat. A place at the beach. Careful, Fred.
You're talking about sailboat.
Oh, Fred got a sailboat. Yeah, I know, Fred, you deserve a break. While every 9 seconds, a child dies of starvation. Yes?
What about
boating? Oh, I am not talking. Listen, guys, I'm not talking about the boat. And I'm not.
No,
see,
no, if you cast the boat for a certain.
Oh, voting.
Voting, yes.
Mm.
We're talking about the priest.
So what about it? Huh? Well, we just had an election here in Florida, and here was your choice for governor. You could vote for one that was against abortion, but was for capital punishment. And the others for both of them. What's your choice?
That was California, exactly.
Which one of them is a Christian candidate? Either that, folks, or I'm wrong. I don't. If y'all think I'm wrong, it's all right. I told you from the beginning of this week, you don't have to accept what I'm saying on faith. Read that book. You know, and then live some of it. Don't just look at the map. Oh, that's wonderful. Love your enemy and do good to those who hate you. You may come to the conclusion that politics and Jesus are diametrically opposed. This is the way of politics.